You're listening to Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio. Now here's your host, Corrine Walson.
Today's topic is freedom from the past. We've been talking about how to view your present situation differently through a spiritual view or lens, if you will, of life and of God and of our identity as His spiritual children. And we've discussed about how an understanding that everything in reality is actually spiritual and perfect, we can experience that perfection here and now as we align our thoughts with these truths. After participating in a recent event where there were survivors of crimes, this big group of women and men that came together to support one another, and I was standing there and I felt such compassion. I felt like a little drummer boy. I was like, what do I have to give? What can I offer these people? And I wanted to help these brave and wonderful people that I've met by giving them a different way of viewing themselves and their past, an opportunity for complete release and freedom from the mental bondage that follows as the after effects of going through some kind of traumatic event. And so the points raised in previous discussions on this show about our present circumstances can and actually must be applied to our past also in order to heal and move forward. Jesus didn't come just so that we might be a little better off, or that we might improve to a condition that we might not be without Him but still struggling. No, He came to give us life, and that abundantly. He died so that we could be free of all sin, sickness, dis-ease, and yes, even death. We have the right to reach out and up for total and complete freedom, and yet most of us will settle just halfway, only claiming a fraction of what He came to give us. He overcame this world, every lie it tells, every sickness it attempts to inflict, every mental prison that attempts to hold us. He blew through every single one. He showed us the absolute nothingness and powerlessness the world has over us when we rise in the recognition and strength of spirit and the truth of who and what we are, and we claim our true identity and inheritance as the children of God. It's only false beliefs, grand illusion, that really separates us from experiencing complete freedom today and from our past. Let's go back to the Bible. You recall the story about the woman who committed adultery? In the 8th chapter of John, we read, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down, and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He had heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself, and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's think about the woman for a minute. She was doing something she knew she shouldn't be, and she no doubt knew that the punishment for doing it was death. Perhaps she loved the guy, or perhaps maybe she was forced into the act. We don't know. But I could confidently speculate that she felt some guilt over the fact that she was committing adultery. Then to be caught in the middle of the act, oh, how embarrassing. Did they drag her away without her clothing on? Was she able to grab something at the last minute to wrap around her as they led her away? what was going on in her mind. She knew they'd want to kill her. Was she begging and pleading for her life? Or did she fall silent before her accusers? Did the neighbors come out and yell things and throw things at her? Was she spit upon? And where was the man she was with during all of this? Was he set free because he was a man? Did he attempt to assist her or even defend her? She was surrounded by a group of self-righteous Pharisees known for their double-mindedness, all seeking to have her stoned, and they gladly would have done so. Do you feel the condemnation, anger, the betrayal, resentment, and fear when you hear me say these words? This is the human picture, the world portrayal. This is what is supported by the five physical senses and mortal mind. And the world would hand down a sentence of a most cruel and painful death. If Jesus sided with the world and what the physical senses dictated under this set of circumstances, what would have happened to the woman? She would have died. What was it that Jesus saw that the Pharisees couldn't? What did Jesus know about the woman's identity? Jesus never, ever accepted what the world reported about those who came to him, or in this case, probably dragged to him. Jesus was very clear that we are each the spiritual, eternal, pure, and perfect child of God. He knew it so well that it was impossible for him to accept as true anything else. Jesus always rose above the report of the physical senses and story, never buying into its lies and the distorted picture. He instead held fast to the truth of the woman's present perfection in all her spiritual glory, holiness, and purity, unmarred by the false beliefs of the world and even her own false beliefs of who she thought she was. This clear conviction that she was God's own beloved daughter was the light that chased the darkness away. It was the truth that dawned so powerfully that it illumined the consciousness of all those around him, requiring their humility and an acknowledgement of their own transgressions to the point that they walked away. This is what Jesus was describing in Luke when he talked about, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." The truth recognized and understood in the consciousness of one person, that connection with the kingdom within, benefits all those who that person's thought rests upon. And most importantly, this truth dawned in the woman's own consciousness. She recalled who she was, never a mortal sinner, but created in his image and likeness, sinless and free. Any of us who have been healed or had a moment of touching truth's garment with an aha moment of awakening or understanding truth is aware that this experience changes your core belief, and this necessarily results in a change in one's behavior and experience. You become a changed person. It's your testimony. You're a new creature. You are forever grateful. I've got zero doubt that this woman was changed from that moment on, and most likely lived her life in a way that was pleasing to God. So the world condemned them to death, but Jesus was not of the world. Everything he demonstrated that we call miracles were actually the natural unfoldment when truth is seen through the illusion of false beliefs. He saw everyone in his or her true nature. His unwavering understanding of God and his creation is what allowed him to overcome the world. Light casts out darkness. Truth casts out error or false beliefs. So fast forward, 2013, here we are. Imagine that you're standing before Jesus. You tell him about your abuse, your abandonment, your fears, perhaps your own transgressions, your sins, your failures, about those who have hurt you, humiliated you, frustrated you, tried to defame or even kill you. Give him your ugliest story. Now, to be sure, Jesus is not walking into your story. He is not widening his eyes, impressed by all that you are sharing and commiserating with you. but in infinite love. He is having infinite compassion on you. He understands and sees the pain you're going through, the agony you have felt from what you have endured. His great love for you is his desire to show you that you too have the power and authority to be in the world, but not of it. You, in reality, never were, and you are not now. Your earthly experience is not who you are. It does not define you. In fact, in reality, it never touched you. It is part of the dream in the illusion of separation from our Creator. It is no more a part of you than the dreams you have at night are the part of your identity. They seem very real, but when the light of truth is shown, we see it for what it is, nothing, trying really hard to be something, a lie begging for admittance into your consciousness, false evidence appearing real. How can this be, you ask? Well, let's consider that nothing truly exists without a cause or source. If there's no cause, there can't be an effect. Without the law of math, there's no mathematical calculation. Without musical notes, there is no music. So what are you and I the effect of? We can only reflect or be what caused us to be. We know that God is the only cause and creator. We read that nothing was made but by God. He is first and last, Alpha, Omega, the great I am. He fills all space, all life, truth, and intelligence. He is love. So if our cause or creator is love, we can in reality only experience what love is and does and expresses. But we have taken in all these lies that we are subject to and are molded by all these other so-called causes, such as what kind of family we have, what sort of job we hold, our bodies, our personalities, our experiences. We believe that these have molded us and influenced us and caused us to be something less than what God created, that we're at the mercy of these so-called causes. I was thinking about this topic of cause and effect, and I found this great article. It's called Your Past is Not a Cause. I want to share a part of this with you. Have you ever fallen for the thought that your past determines who you are, that your physical and emotional makeup, behavior, current circumstances, and future potential are all products of your history? That concept is so prevalent in world thought that it seems to be a law. But Christian Science shows that it's actually a falsehood, the blind acceptance of which burdens us with a wrong sense of our identity. When I was a new student, there were many challenges in my life that seemed to be a result of negative aspects of my life. You could say I had mental pictures of myself to which little signs were attached. Worst of all, it felt as if there wasn't much I could do to overcome my background or change its inevitable effects. Through my study of Christian Science, I learned to challenge negative assumptions of who I was and replace them with what is absolutely true of me and everyone else as a perfect, loved child of God. The first and second commandments were particularly helpful in this endeavor because they reminded me to honor God as the only cause and creator. Science and Health puts it this way, there is but one primal cause, therefore there can be no effect from any other cause, and there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause. Then there are these two promises from God, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind, for you shall forget your misery. You shall remember it as waters that pass away, and your life shall be clearer than the noonday and rise above it. Though there be darkness, it shall be as the morning, and you shall be secure and feel confident because there is hope. Yes, you shall search about you, and you shall take your rest in safety. These verses hint at the rewards of entering through diligent study and application of the word into a new realization of the heaven that is here and now. Just as we wouldn't put on a new, beautifully tailored suit over old clothes, we simply cannot know ourselves to be spiritual ideas, wholly created and maintained by divine principle God, and at the same time believe in the past as a determining factor in our lives. God is spirit, conscious of us right now and always as complete, productive, progressing, and at peace. All sense of historical records must be put aside, just as we move worn-out clothes in order to make room for new apparel. Mrs. Eddy writes about the need to expunge the past and says, "It is well to know, dear reader, that our material, mortal history is but the record of dreams, not of man's real existence, and the dream has no place in the science of being. If there is guilt and remorse associated with some event in one's past, it is important to acknowledge mistakes, but also to be deeply grateful for the awakening of consciousness that regrets being tricked into a false sense of one's identity. We can even be grateful for the exalting ordeals that help us drop a false concept of existence." And she concludes, "In my study of Christian Science, I learned to replace each of the human facts about myself with an awareness of the individual whom God created, a spiritual idea possessing and reflecting his perfection. Instead of regarding my past as a reality I must try to mitigate, I saw that I must simply drop all sense that it had any power over me. Very quickly, almost every facet of my life at that time began to change. My health improved, I took up a new career, my financial situation steadily progressed, and the work that was accomplished in the jobs I held was both satisfying and rewarding. Opportunities afforded me were of significant benefit to my employers as well, because God used me in ways I could never have thought possible while I had been walking around wearing those former false concepts of myself and others based on a human history. It is helpful to note that every Sunday in Christian Science churches throughout the world, the Bible passage read at the end of the service includes this statement, 'Beloved, now are we the sons of God.' We have divine authority to live in the reality of that now and drop the past as a cause. When we do, we put off a false sense of identity and the trouble it brings, and accept the blessings that belong to us as children of God." I love that last sentence about us having the present authority and ability to drop any painful sense of our past as a cause in our life, and put off the false sense of identity and accept the current truth that we are now the sons and daughters of God. It's ours for our taking. It's who we already are. You and I possess all that God is and gives. But we believe in this lie of separation, this lie of limitation, lack, and powers apart from God. They are not real. They are not a part of you. They possess no power to change or influence who you are in reality. It's an ugly Halloween mask that we're not unwittingly wearing, and we don't know that we can just take it off at any moment. I've got no doubt that each one of us wants to claim our divine inheritance, to know who we are in the image and likeness of God. It's why you're listening to the show right now. The real you is calling you back to remembrance of who you are in truth, to deny anything that would suggest lack, inability, separation, fear, sickness, or sin. We do this as we replace false beliefs with divine truths. There's another article called That Which Is Past, and briefly it says, "The truth about anything must always destroy the lie, and so, in proportion as we are able to realize that God is the only mind, whose law is unchanging love and harmony, we shall be able to rise above the false testimony of the material senses, and so break the mesmerism with which the belief of a discordant and unhappy past would bind us. Jesus said, 'Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' Here is a glorious message of hope and comfort to all who still seem bowed down with shame and misery. Often a despairing one will say, 'How can I ever be free from the past? It will always be like a millstone around my neck. The memory of past wrongdoing will cling to me forever.' To all these weary and heavy-laden ones who are seeking divine aid, the Comforter, or divine science comes and gives them rest and peace by showing that truth is the only power, and that man is now and forever has been the expression of God, that our true self is the reflection of love and purity. As this glorious light breaks in upon us, we are able to see that the human sense of the past never existed save a false belief. And so we are not, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Mary Baker Eddy understood, and she taught the importance of applying the truth not only to the present, but to our human history. In a book called Retrospection and Introspection, she wrote, "It is well to know, dear reader, that our material, mortal history is but the record of dreams, not of man's real existence. And the dream has no place in the science of being. It is as a tale that is told, and as the shadow when it declineth. The heavenly intent of earth's shadows is to chasten the affections, to rebuke human consciousness and turn it gladly from a material, false sense of life and happiness to spiritual joy and true estimate of being." She continues on and claims that the human history needs to be revised and material record expunged. That word expunged, it means to strike out, obliterate, destroy, or to eliminate from one's consciousness. The false story of who you are not must be eliminated from your consciousness based upon the fact that God did not create or cause anything but good. If God didn't cause it, you could not be the recipient of the effect of it. If God didn't create it, then you couldn't experience it. Your ego is shrieking right now. It must survive. It must keep you prisoner, a victim, depressed, helpless, tied to your story, a slave to all the alleged effects that stem from the supposed atrocity. It is fighting for its very life in your thought right now. And all there is to its life is the life you give it. Fight back. Claim your truth, your God-given dominion, your identity as the son or daughter of God, the holy, pure, unblemished, free, joyful, perfect child of the Most High, that your true history is your at-one-ment with God, hid in Christ, never in or of this world, but above it, and victorious and supreme. Is this wishful thinking? No, because those who have learned and understood this already have experienced the breaking off of mental chains and shackles. They are loosed from their bonds. They no longer suffer any effects of abuse or abandonment. The negative so-called effects drop from their experience because they understand that there never was a cause apart from God. And what God creates is perfect. This understanding granted them complete freedom. This is why I share with you. This is why I'm passionate about what I'm doing. I've seen it. I have a testimony myself. I have helped others break free from the past. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to identify yourself as a survivor of something God never created. You get to stand tall, your head up high, joyful, grateful that you are, always have been, always will be the awesome creation of the Most High God. Let us rejoice over this fact and claim our birthright today. God bless you.
Healing Through Prayer with Kareen Walson is broadcast on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio.